Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
And good afternoon, everyone. It's 16 after 12. Make that after 1 in Manitoba. And welcome to GX on Agriculture. Again, I'm filling in this week for Doug Falconer, actually over the next couple of weeks, as Doug enjoys a nice summer vacation. On GX on Agriculture today, I spoke this morning with Shannon Friesen. She's a crops specialist with Saskatchewan Agriculture, just releasing their weekly crop report this morning. So we'll hear from Shannon coming up on the program today. Also joining me, we'll hear from Bill Campbell. He's the president of Keystone Agricultural Producers. Had a good chat with Bill earlier this week about drought situations in Manitoba and the impact they're having on farm operations. Also, if time will allow on the program today, I spoke this morning with Kevin Ruschka, and Gerald area farmer, and I'll see how things are coming as we get a little closer to harvest. Still a little bit to go before harvest in that Esterhazy area, but we'll look forward to chatting with Kevin Ruschka as well. If not on the program today, we'll certainly get him on tomorrow. All that coming up today on GX on Agriculture. It's 17 after 12 now, and time for the Agriculture Weather Outlook. It's a presentation of Sean Prihika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And it's time now for Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. Phil, anything we should be watching out for today?
The biggest concern really is that it's going to be rather dry and at times a touch breezy. Most of the sustained winds in the 20 range, 20, maybe 25, but there'll be gusts that get into the 30 and 35 range. The dryness today, I don't want to say it's not too bad, because we are seeing the humidity falling into the low 30% range, some of us getting into the 20% range. Tomorrow, the dew point is just a little bit lower during the afternoon, so the humidity just a little bit lower. Wind about the same, slightly different direction. Today, it's south to southwest. Tomorrow, west to northwest. When you get the dryness and the wind, those two combinations always make you pay extra attention to potential fire. We've seen the dryness persist, and no reason to make conditions worse in that regard. The next few days, not just these next two, but the next few, going into the weekend, going through the early part of next week, there's really no change in our weather. It's going to continue to be dry. It's going to continue to be sunny through the daytime hours, and temperatures will continue to run above normal. Will be around 31 this afternoon. Tonight, down to 15. Tomorrow, 32. Partly to mostly sunny sky. Saturday is sunny, a slight cool down. In fact, there is that wind shift tonight, there is a chance that a shower comes through. It's looking less impressive than the already unimpressive that it looked yesterday. Thinking the chance of rain really not much more than 10%. Brief period of extra cloudiness, then right back into the sunshine. Saturday, the chances of rain effectively negligible. There's just very little cloud cover around, even Sunday too. Maybe a few scattered afternoon clouds. 29, Saturday's high. 31, the high on Sunday with the sunshine. Monday, 33 with the sunshine. Looks like that is the peak of the warm-up. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not that it gets cool after that. Just the days where we're solidly in the 30s should at least start to ease up.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Do you recall a summer when we've had this many days with temperatures over 30 degrees? I certainly don't. Maybe. I've forgotten a lot. So that's why I asked the question to you. Do you remember any summers where we've had this many days topping 30 degrees? think you'd have to think long and hard about that. Current temperatures around the region, it's 21 in La Paw, 25 degrees for Indian Head. At 26, we have Brandon, Shoal Lake, and Russell. 27 degrees this hour in Dauphin, Broadview, and Mooseman. 28 in Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, along with Swan River. And 29 this hour in Regina, Saskatoon, and Hudson Bay. In the Yorkton-Melville region, sunshine, south-southwest breeze, 26, relative humidity down at 28%. Our temperature up 2 degrees in the past hour, now 28. Yesterday's high and low, 27 and 15, normals, 25 and 11. The provincial hotspot yesterday was Leader at 30 degrees. Stony Rapids, the coolest place in the province, at plus 2. In Manitoba, Winnipeg got up to 31 yesterday. Lynn Lake, the coolest place in the province, at 6 degrees. Sunrise this morning was at 5:11. The sun sets tonight at 8:42. Again, our current temperature is 28 degrees. Well on our way to a forecast high for today of 31. We have Ag Review coming up next at 12:30, 1:30 in Manitoba. Drought conditions have brought many livestock producers to their knees. Keystone Agricultural Producers President Bill Campbell operates a mixed farm, including cattle, near Minto, Manitoba.
We noticed, you know, probably about this time last year that the rains kind of stopped coming, and then we never had very much snow. And then there has been very limited rainfall this spring, and so we knew, you know, probably in April and May that our forages and pastures were going to have some challenges. And as we've moved forward, you know, there's been some isolated some areas that have gotten some timely moisture, and so they've been able to kind of, you know, move along and appear to be, you know, doing average or all right. But we've still got a lot of challenges with this securing winter feed for the livestock herd and pasture. You know, personally, I'm, you know, within 3 weeks of making some major decisions on the cow herd as to where they go for grazing. And that part, we probably have 25% of our required winter feed sources right now. So a lot of decisions moving forward.
For some producers, Campbell says the decision has been to cut their losses and downsize.
We have seen and heard in areas where that these independent auction marts have actually opened up again and are having some sales, and not just one or two, but three or four. And we had heard Ashern had a sale with 1,500 head in it, and that's unheard of at this time of year to have that many cattle come to an auction mart for sale, and it indicates the level of stress and the level of options that are left available to producers. And you have no pasture, you have no hay, you know, that is one of the very unfortunate options that you have left, is to downsize, or even I've heard complete dispersal of your cow herd. And you know, we have had some communications with the governments and other farm organizations as how do we maintain this cow herd, and how do we get alternative feeds in a timely fashion to those producers. And so it there are some challenges, but we're working through it.
Campbell says some of those guys will likely pack it in completely.
I think every situation is unique, and you have to look at your resources, you know, be it your land and your infrastructure on your facilities. And one of the big things I think you have to look at is the age on your birth certificate, and that will be a huge indicator. And, you know, looking forward in the industry, what is your level of anticipation of better times ahead and all that? But there will be some that will not return. There's no doubt in my mind. It's how do we get the young people to come back into it when they've been made these decisions? And so, there's some speculation through commodity groups as to the level of what the cow herd will and needs to be, and but everybody's trying to do their best to maintain this mother cow herd.
My guest is Bill Campbell, president of Keystone Agricultural Producers in Manitoba. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau visited Manitoba late last week and announced support for drought-stricken farmers.
Well, I think the most positive message that can come from the visit from the federal minister is that she came and looked and seen. And I quite honestly believe that seeing is believing, the magnitude of the impact that the drought is having. Until you get your feet on the ground and walk in pastures that are alive with grasshoppers, when you see brown grass, when you see cows that don't have anywhere to graze, and you see stunted crops and aborted pods and all of those things, I think it gives you a better understanding of just how significant this is. The other part that I think that needs to be kind of acknowledged is to be able to react in a timely fashion to secure alternative feeds. And that was announced that in cooperation with the provincial government and MASC to have some acknowledgement that you can, a 40% yield reduction will be calculated into your yield assessment so you can make those decisions. And, you know, ultimately it is the producers that will have to form these relationships with people that have these feed sources. And so, today, tomorrow, this weekend is going to be the time frame to get some of these crops utilized for alternative feeds. And so that is probably the most positive messages that came out from her visit.
In some areas, it's been months since they had a good rainfall. I asked Campbell if there's still time to save the crops in those regions, or has the damage already been done?
Well, I had some optimism and thought that if you had a good stand and, you know, good germination and got through some periods and with, a little bit of timely rain, that the crop was handling it pretty good. But upon further inspection and walking in my fields, that I've become more realistic or disappointed. And we're seeing that now where I think our cereal crops are more or less set. And our canola, when you walk into it, you see significant heat blast damage. And I would suggest in our area, you know, we could be in that 50% yield reduction is where we're at. And ultimately, we will not really find out till the combines get rolling. But after numerous years of experience, you get a feel of what the level of production is going to be. And I'm not as optimistic as I was previously. And we have another 10 days of warm weather with no rain coming here. So I just think it's going to continually regress with regards to yield potential.
Bill Campbell, president of Manitoba's Keystone Agricultural Producers. He farms near Minto, south of Brandon. Meantime, Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association is taking action to support livestock producers by releasing the contents of a drought survival proposal submitted to the provincial and federal governments earlier this week. Stock Growers President Kelsey Alford says they greatly appreciate the measures that Saskatchewan Agriculture and Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada have implemented, especially the triggering of agri-recovery assessments. However, Alford noted there's no end in sight for these extreme conditions, and additional immediate action is required, including an announcement of agri-recovery programming to ensure that livestock producers are able to make critical, time-sensitive business decisions. Alford says they're encouraging both levels of government to work with grain companies to remove any barriers that are preventing the salvage of feed from forward contracted crops. They're also recommending that governments collaborate with short line and national railway companies to find affordable transportation for relocating feed grains, and byproducts to deficit areas in the province. It's 12:30 now, 1:30 in Manitoba, and it's time for AgriView, a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, AgriView.
Prolonged drought conditions have taken a toll on crops in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Agriculture's Shannon Friesen reports the extreme heat has rapidly deteriorated crop conditions.
Well, the extreme heat, you know, has certainly been causing a lot of issues for us. Not only are our hay crops and pastures drying up, but our crops are as well. And of course, that is no surprise to us, as we've had many, many weeks of these drought-like conditions. So of course, with crops rapidly drying down, of course, harvest is actually going to start in many areas of the province much sooner than expected.
Friesen says a majority of crops are rated as poor to fair. All crops are well ahead of their normal developmental stages for this time of year, and many are ripe enough to begin harvest. Friesen says the estimated yields for many crops in the province is expected to be well below average.
We've heard reports even, you know, a very, very small single-digit yields. Certainly nothing what we would normally expect. And of course, again, no surprise given our drought conditions. So hopefully we are able to pull off something in some areas of the province. Areas in the southeast, for example, have received just a little bit more rain than everybody else. So yields there may be a little bit better. But for the majority of the province, we are expecting things to be much, much worse than normal.
Friesen says the situation for livestock producers remains quite dire.
And again, with that lack of rain and the high heat, we've had a lot of, issues in hayland and the pastures. Even though haying does continue and we have about 15% of the crop cut and 75% baled or put into silage, many producers have indicated that they are done haying, that there's not going to be a second cut. Quality is not as we would like as well, so we are anticipating some feed shortages this year.
Hay quality is rated 4% excellent, 40% good, 34% fair, and 22% poor. Many farmers have indicated that hay yields are below normal, especially in areas that received less rainfall in early summer, and that a second cut is extremely unlikely. Rainfall this past week varied throughout the province, ranging from none in many areas to around 55 millimeters in areas around Indian Head and Neilburg. The Lumsden area received 33 millimeters, Langenberg 30, and the Salt Coats area 24. Cropland topsoil moisture is rated 4% adequate, 38% short, and 58% very short. Hay and pasture land topsoil moisture is rated 2% adequate, 27% short, and 71% very short. Friesen says harvest should become general around the province in the next few weeks.
We're probably a little earlier than normal, but I wouldn't be surprised if within the next 3 to 4 weeks that most combines are out in the field.
Saskatchewan Agriculture's Shannon Friesen. The July agriculture and agri-food supply and demand tables has forecast that total grain stocks for all principal field crops across Canada will fall by over 4.3 million metric tons, or 30%, to 9.87 million metric tons by the end of the crop year. That's this Saturday for all grains except for corn and soybeans, where the crop year ends at the end of August. Interruptions in grain movement in recent weeks due to wildfires in BC has resulted in grain backed up on the prairies, with commercial stocks in primary elevators on the prairies higher than one would expect as we near the end of the crop year. Only Manitoba stocks are lower than normal as of week 50. Week 50 stocks across Manitoba of 476,100 metric tons are down 21% from the same week last year and almost 23% below the three-year average. The Western Prairies haven't fared as well, with stocks in both Saskatchewan and Alberta higher than both 2020 and the three-year average. Total primary stocks of Canada's principal field crops at over 3 million metric tons are 4.1% higher than the same week in 2019-20 and 5.9% higher than the three-year average. Chicago wheat futures rose for a second straight session yesterday, fueled by a severe drought curbing yields of top-quality U.S. spring wheat. Corn and soybean futures also edged higher. Grain brokers say dry weather is curbing U.S. spring wheat, and that's supporting wheat prices globally. Spring wheat yields across the northwest quarter of North Dakota are well below average this year, as severe heat and long stretches of dry weather sapped crop potential. Estimated yields in the country's top producing state are just under 25 bushels an acre. The five-year average for North Dakota is over 42 bushels an acre. The drought extends into South Dakota and Montana, and of course, into portions of Canada. And Nature Saskatchewan is asking rural motorists to be on the lookout for young burrowing owls. The young owls are inexperienced and often forage on green roads, or grid roads rather, and in ditches, and need to learn the way of the road. Unfortunately, many of these young owls are at risk of being struck by motorists while foraging along the sun-warmed roads. The burrowing owl population in Saskatchewan has been steadily declining. Nature Saskatchewan says the survival of each owl is critical for the ultimate survival of the species. The agency says motorists can help the juvenile owls survive by slowing down in rural areas, especially near pasture land. The owls are often found nesting in native or tame prairie that's been well grazed by cattle, as the shorter grass enables the owl to see any nearby predators. They're often seen standing near their burrow entrance or nearby fence posts or foraging in the ditches. The owls use abandoned burrows dug by badgers, gophers, and other burrowing mammals. Nature Saskatchewan has a burrowing owl initiative to help ensure the species' survival. And that is today's Ag Review. It's 12:38 now, 1:38 in Manitoba. And it's time for the Livestock Report. It's a presentation today of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
And first of all, we check today's livestock futures. Live cattle, October live cattle, closed at 128.15, down 37. December live cattle, 133.27, down 22 cents. September feeder cattle closed today at 161.95, down a buck 50. October, 164.20, down 137. October lean hogs, 88.97, down 55 cents today. And December lean hogs, 82.40, up 25 cents. And those are today's closing U.S. livestock futures.
Hello.
It's 12:42 now, 18 before 1, before 2 in Manitoba. Harvest in the Esterhazy area, still a couple of weeks out. That's according to Kevin Ruschka from Ruschka Farms at Gerald.
We're a couple of weeks away yet from harvest. It's a little bit earlier probably than expected, but not really, really early. So we have a little waiting to do yet. Hopefully catch a rain yet, but it's coming along.
Ruschka says they've had a decent growing season in the Esterhazy region.
And of course, we're, you know, always looking in the sky for rain like everybody else. And we were, you know, fortunate. We've got a few small rains here and there, and it's sort of brought a crop on that's, it's a little lighter than we'd like. But at least it's not near as dry here as it is in, you know, a lot of other areas. So our wheat looks pretty good, and the canola certainly could have used a little more rain, but it's still filling. And
Ruschka says they won't know what sort of yields they have until they get into it.
I guess we always want to be optimistic, but I would say there could be average to, you know, slightly below average yields. Some fields for sure, in some areas, because we're spread out, missed the rains altogether, because we were sort of relying on showers to grow the crop this year. So that's always patchy and hit and miss. So you know, there's some areas that will be light, but it is, it's nothing flooded out, and it is canola wall to wall, so we're being hopeful, I guess.
Ruska says the canola stands are definitely much shorter than usual.
We just didn't have precipitation when it was blooming and filling and when it would normally stretch out.
What impact has this stretch of sunny, hot weather had on your crops?
Well, you always have a little heat blast from warm days like that. It'll, you know, abort pods mid-stem and that type of thing. So, and that, you know, that's obvious there, that's for sure. And then, of course, that's what makes it tough to, anticipate the yields. And the canola did bloom for quite a while. And we had a few little showers in there. And it's, I guess I thought, you know, originally I thought the heat might have hurt it worse than it did, but it seemed to have hung on pretty good.
You have a very large operation, Kevin. How has the COVID pandemic affected things?
Yeah, it had its challenges. We're building some buildings and stuff here, so there was delays in the supply chain. But I'd have to say that it probably didn't affect us as much as some other businesses. I guess they were kind of out there standing in the field all alone in a lot of ways. So, you know, we're not around a lot of people. And so I don't think we felt the control of the COVID regulations quite as much as, you know, the industries in town and stuff. But, you know, there's, and it's still lingering, you know, there's still fallout from that. So, to answer your question, I would say we did pretty good.
Some guys, and I think you to an extent, hire some offshore workers. Was that a problem?
Yeah, that kind of, all that migration of people just stopped. But it had sort of been tailoring off, before COVID as it was, because the unemployment rate probably, you know, affected some of the regulations as far as us bringing in migrant workers and things like that. It's got difficult to do that, you know, prior to COVID as it was, just because of regulations. So to blame COVID on that, that probably wouldn't be accurate. It was just the rules and regulations were tightening up, and we almost, you know, weren't doing much of that already as it was.
Shifting now to grain marketing, crop prices are strong, and Ruska says that will help cushion the blow for farmers from lower anticipated yields this year.
You know, that's helping farmers a little bit, that the strong prices are will shore up the lesser yields. There's no question about that. And I suppose we do talk about that we're a little bewildered what's actually holding these markets up. Some people do have answers. Myself, I don't. But it seems like the world is really hungry for our grain, our canola, our wheat, and it's really supporting the prices. And no doubt the weather affects it, but it's, you know, the world's full of grain, not just Saskatchewan, where we're experiencing some drought. But that certainly is a factor. It's a positive thing for sure, and the prices are really hanging in there. So we're definitely happy to see that, and want to keep riding that wave. There's no question about it.
And finally, I asked Ruska about challenges facing farmers.
Well, there's always concerns. The weather, you know, as a farmer, you're always, always looking into the sky. Equipment availability, land pricing is all out there competing for our margins. There's no question about it. You know, steel prices have just drove machinery right through the roof, and, you know, equipment dealers are fumbling around and almost don't even know, you know, how to trade your equipment, because there's, you know, everything is so fluid and moving in an upward direction right now. So I guess that's possibly even a challenge that COVID did create as well. It's hard for me to judge that, but there is challenges for sure.
Kevin Ruska has a large farm at Gerald near Esterhazy. It's 1249, 149 in Manitoba, and it's time now for the closing grain prices. The commodities, a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities update.
Canola futures were down at the close today, November 878.40 a metric ton, down 460 from yesterday's close. January canola 865.20, down $4. September Minneapolis wheat closed today at 918 and a half a bushel, up 14 and three quarters. September Kansas City wheat 674 and a half, up 15 cents. September Chicago wheat 705 and a quarter, up 16 and a half. September corn 558 a bushel, up 8 3/4. September soybeans 1385 and a quarter, up 15 cents. And September oats closed out the day at 463 and 3/4 a bushel, down 2 1/2 cents. And those are today's closing commodity prices.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald, filling in for Doug Falconer. The latest Sask Wheat Outlook says U.S. wheat futures for September fell 5 to 34 cents a bushel last week. Now, despite that decline, analyst Marlene Borsch of Mercantile Consulting says the long-term demand for wheat remains strong.
The decline was a combination of profit-taking after a huge rally the previous week and due to increasing harvest pressure in Europe and the United States. So last Friday, September 21 contract Chicago winter wheat closed at 684, down 8 cents on Friday and down 8 cents on the week. September 21 Kansas hard red winter wheat closed at 646, down 5 cents on the week. And September 21 Minneapolis hard red spring wheat closed at 883.4, down 34 cents on the week. Wheat markets are somewhat weaker again today. To give you a brief summary on what drove the markets last week, spring wheat and durum crops across the Northern Plains and the U.S. and the Canadian prairies continue to face extreme heat with little to no rain. Yields continue to be revised down, and prices for spring wheat and durum have been rising in North America. Demand rationing will be necessary as the potential sizes of Canadian and U.S. crops get smaller. U.S. spring wheat ratings fell 5% to just 11% good to excellent. This compares to 68% last year and is only 1% off the record low of 1988. Production of Argentine and Australian wheat looks to be up from last year to 29 million tons plus, respectively. The Australian wheat crop looks quite promising. In Europe, harvest data remains okay, but not stellar, and logistics to the ports continue to cause problems. On the other hand, this is still a market that lacks activity, with farmers not selling and consumer demand lacking. It is unclear if the lack of buying is due to high prices of goods and freight, or simply due to delaying the purchase decisions to the very last moment. We'll have to keep watching that. We note that Kazakhstan is banning exports of feed wheat and barley and all exports of rye for 6 months. Severe drought there has caused a shortage of animal feed. Let's delve a bit more into the North American conditions. Unfortunately, the Saskatchewan and Alberta Ag Ministries only detail crop conditions on a biweekly basis. There was some rain in parts of Alberta and Saskatchewan, but cereals are largely done, and we don't think it will do much now to raise the overall condition of the crop. The Saskatchewan crop was last reported as 25% good to excellent and 37% poor to very poor. The Alberta spring wheat crop was last reported at 39% good to excellent. Should average Canadian yields fall 10% below the average to around 48.7 bushel per acre, Canada would produce 22.8 million tons of wheat. We think yields might settle at about 46 bushel per acre. We will have to see exactly what comes out when the combines roll. The worst year for wheat on the prairies that we remember was in 1988, when spring wheat yields fell to a shocking 18.4 bushel per acre. This should give us some scale. Have a look at the yield graphs for spring wheat from 1980 forward on the website of Sask Wheat. As mentioned, conditions in the U.S. fell another 5% last week. Now just 11% of the spring wheat crop is in good to excellent condition. 63% of the crop here is in poor or very poor condition. 5% of the U.S. spring wheat is mature, and harvest will begin any day.
Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting supplies the wheat market outlook on the Sask Wheat website. It's coming up on 1257 now, 157 in Manitoba.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Rocky Mountain Equipment has announced the Right by You Ag Society grant, which will support agricultural societies across the prairies. The program will award 4 grants of $10,000 each. To be eligible, the application must fulfill the following requirements. The applicant is an agricultural society in Alberta, Saskatchewan, or Manitoba. The proposed project must be completed within 2 years of receiving funding and must enhance the lives of community residents. The deadline to apply is tomorrow. Successful applicants will be announced on September 30th. Contact Rocky Mountain Equipment if you'd like further details. And the nomination period for director positions with 5 Saskatchewan crop commissions is now open. The commissions seeking nominations include the Saskatchewan Barley Development Commission, Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission, Saskatchewan Pulse Growers, Saskatchewan Mustard Development Commission, and Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission. Sask Barley is seeking nominations for 3 of 6 director positions. Sask Wheat is looking for nominees for 4 of 7 director positions. Eligible nominees for Sask Barley and Sask Wheat must be registered producers, which is any producer who's had a barley or wheat checkoff deducted since the 1st of August 2019 and hasn't requested or received a checkoff refund in the last fiscal year. Saskatchewan Pulse Growers seeking nominations for 3 of 9 director positions. Sask Mustard is taking nominations for 1 of 6 director positions. And the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission has 3 of 5 director positions open for nominations. The deadline to receive completed nomination forms for all organizations is Friday, September 3rd at 12 noon. Should the organizations receive more nominations than available director positions, then elections will be declared and held this fall. And that is today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's coming up on 1259 now, 159 in Manitoba. And we'll close out today's program with GX94's precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Partly to mainly sunny this afternoon, wind southwest 15 to 30 with gusts higher, high 31. Mainly clear tonight. Wind southwest 15 to 25, diminishing. Overnight low 15. Partly to mostly sunny tomorrow. West-northwest wind 15 to 25, up to 32 degrees. Continuing sunny Saturday. North-northwest wind 15 to 25, high 29. Mainly sunny Sunday, 31. Continuing sunny and hot on Monday. Holiday Monday. Daytime high near 33 degrees. Now, turning to this hour's temperature roundup, 21 in the Paw, 25 degrees in Indian Head. Brandon, Shoal Lake, Russell reporting 26 degrees, 27 this hour for Broadview, Mooseman, and Dauphin. Roblin also 27, 28 for Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, and Swan River, and 29 degrees in Regina, Saskatoon, and Hudson Bay. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's sunny. The wind is south, southwest at 26. Relative humidity, 28%, and our temperature is 28 degrees. That's it for today. Join me again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, 1:15 in Manitoba for GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.